Well, as I've already stated, this is an important day for our church, and it's my privilege to give a charge to you as a church family. So we're going to take from 1 Timothy. I was a little nervous there, Pastor Reimers. I was thinking, okay, maybe we'll hear the same message or passage twice. But no, we'll hear from another chapter in the same book. It's a great book that deals with church in order, and you could say perhaps church planting by extension, on how to set things up and how to send people out. So this is a time that maybe you've experienced this before, where you have been surprised. Perhaps you have been on a path or a course where you thought you had it all figured out, and then all of a sudden you woke up to the reality that someone is pulling a fast one on you. You ever been there before? I was in my dorm room back at Northland Baptist Bible College after winning a district championship, which means very little to almost everyone in here, I understand, but means a whole bunch to me. I remember the excitement of the overtime win, hitting that three-pointer, and the excitement. I was just on cloud 9 or 10 or 11, I don't remember. I was in my room, and I received a phone call. And on the other end of the line was the Dunbar Post. Now, I didn't stop to consider, is there such thing as a Dunbar Post, which there isn't. And there was a series of questions asked towards me about how the game went, how my teammates played, if I thought there was any deficiencies in the coaching or in the play of my teammates. And I was just going on and on about, well, I think he could have passed the ball more. I think, and how about your own game? And then before I knew it, I heard a bunch of guys knocking on the door, and they opened up the door, and there was my teammates, one guy on the phone, laughing at me. How's it going, Jason? I felt so stupid. I got it wrong. And yet they got the true me. You know, they got the honest, this is my perspective. When you come to ministry, boy, basketball, winning and losing, who really cares? When it comes to ordaining someone for ministry, getting that wrong, that hurts a lot of people. It hurts the candidate, his family. It hurts the church that ordained him. It hurts the church that is under his ministry. I wish I could tell you I don't know any close friends that have left the ministry because of poor decisions, but unfortunately, I can't because I know several. They went into it with all intentions to follow Christ and to do the right thing, but as they went through the process, felt the different temptations. And my charge to our body today is that we need to be careful. We need not act in haste. We should be systematic in the process. We should look forward to future opportunities to send out other men into ministry. It's a great privilege that we have. Thus the globe up here, the idea of global ministry, sending people out. But we have to be cautious. When Family Baptist Church was growing and going back in the early days, and we were in need of looking for another assistant pastor, Dad and I went on the search, and we found a very qualified man externally. In fact, I'm afraid to admit to you, or embarrassed to admit to you, that part of what I thought made him a good fit is because he was of a different ethnicity. And that's the very thing we needed in the context of Family Baptist Church and the people that we're attempting to reach out towards. To have a leadership team that resembles the congregation, I think, is important in certain contexts. And it dawned on me one time when this man was brought in and made an assistant pastor, he wouldn't participate in the Lord's Supper, and he was in front with us leading. At that point, all of the pastors would sit up, and he would not partake of the fruit of the vine or the unleavened bread. And I went up to him afterwards, and I said, what's going on? He said, I'm working through some stuff. Originally, when we talked to him, his comment to me was, and to my dad, he is like, I don't think I'm really qualified or ready. And we said, okay, what do you mean when you say you're not qualified? We went through 1 Timothy 3, had all those matched up with that passage. Well, I just don't feel ready. And so we used the passage on him regarding Moses and saying, Moses is at the burning bush. I can't do this. I can't do this. And God says, who made man's mouth? Who made those that are blind or those that are deaf? Did not I? And so we encouraged him just to go into ministry. But the truth is, he was crying out to say, I'm not ready yet. Now, Heston, I haven't heard any of these things from you. But the charge here is to our church. And I know you're a part of this church. In fact, I was thinking as I'm sitting there, you've been uniquely equipped, not only through your educational experience and the ability that you've had to be in a great family that's ministry-minded, and the connection that you've had in good churches, you have served as a deacon. So you're one that is currently a deacon at our church. I've never had a chance to do that. I think it's a neat way of deacon to pastor. Not that it's biblical, but I think it's interesting how God's given you that breadth of knowledge on the practical side. When we look at this passage, church family, I want to encourage you that we don't act hastily. So look at 1 Timothy 5, and we're going to look specifically at verse 22 through 25. Do not be hasty, the passage says, in the laying on of hands, nor take part in the sins of others. Keep yourselves pure. No longer drink only water, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. The sins of some men are conspicuous, going before them to judgment, but the sins of others appear later. So also good works are conspicuous, and even those that are not cannot remain hidden. So here's some thoughts from this. The process of ordination begins with the church family. Paul is writing here to Timothy to instruct the church on how to function. It doesn't begin with a council. We call in a council to assess the doctrine of the candidate. But we are the ones ordaining Heston Blake for gospel ministry. And so Paul is directing this to Timothy in his leadership of the church and to the church in general. Don't be hasty. Be careful. Recognize your responsibility. I say this frequently at weddings. When you come to a wedding and you sign that guest book, you're not there just as a passive participant, but you're signing up saying, I will hold that couple accountable to the wedding vows that they make before God. And so I say to you, as those attending this ordination service, you have a responsibility. Members of Palmetto Baptist Church, this is our responsibility. Hold Heston to the fire, as it is what Pastor Reimers talked about regarding his handling of the word, regarding his ministry heart, regarding his own humility and desire to grow. This is a huge responsibility for the church to consider. Consider this. It says, don't be hasty in the laying on of hands, nor take part in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. I look at all those things. That's a charge to all of us. I'm supposed to keep myself pure as your pastor. You're supposed to keep yourself pure as you analyze and determine whether or not Heston is qualified. Now, we're at the point today where we're putting our stamp of approval, as it were, on Heston. We've had an opportunity to see him in ministry. This demands discernment. We can't just go about this in a quick fashion. I'm one standing before you that would love to see us have another ordination service next Sunday for another one of you in this church. And I'm looking out, and I know some of you, God has placed his hand of call into ministry on your life. I'd love to do it next Sunday and the Sunday after that and the Sunday after that and send out church planners all over the place. That would be great. But the truth is, we can't let the cart go in front of the horse. We need to make sure that we're showing biblical discernment. When we look at this passage, I think in reference to weakness that is demonstrated through the life of Timothy, Paul redirects it to Timothy and says to him, in essence, don't write off the candidate because of his undeveloped strengths. Where do you see this? I see this from this reference, no longer drink only water, but use a little wine for medicinal purposes for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. Timothy is a guy given to, I believe, if you look at 1 and 2 Timothy, this tendency to fear men. You see that in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. He says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He says in 1 Timothy 4, let no man despise your youth. So perhaps Timothy had a tendency to allow others to look critically on his ministry and to be a little bit held back by it and perhaps having some stomach issues as a result. Timothy wasn't a perfect guy. I hate to let you in on this. Heston's not a perfect guy. He has areas where he needs to grow, just as I have areas that I need to grow, and you have areas that you need to grow. So ordaining Heston as a church is not based on the fact that he is not, that he is perfect in all areas, that he has no weaknesses. He does have weaknesses, but that is part of the process of growth in Christ's likeness. Provide a period of time to observe the candidate. I hope you feel that we've had that opportunity to watch him in action. I've sensed that. Of course, I've had a close connection with Heston for many years, watching him grow in his witness, in his desire for study, as Pastor Reimers brought up, in his hunger for God's word. Observe his ministry effectiveness. How has he been effective in our midst? This is the same type of challenge that I would give, even if, let's say, it's not Heston. Let's say it's another one of you here called to ministry. Those of you seeking and desiring to be in ministry, these are the things that we need to do. We need to watch your effectiveness in ministry. Are you engaged in ministry? Are you sitting back on the sidelines waiting for people to come to you? Or are you willing to jump in? And are you gifted in particular areas? Observe his doctrinal accuracy. And that's, of course, what took place on Friday night. But I would suggest to you that here it's not just reserved to a council. Doctrinal accuracy, what it speaks of in 1 Timothy 3, being apt to teach, is demonstrated from the pulpit. Hearing him preach, hearing him teach, seeing where he falls on certain areas when difficulties come. We need to make sure that we also observe his personal character, because his character is what really matters. You look at 1 Timothy 3, that list develops all these character qualities of a man after God's own heart. Again, by means of instruction, I share this with the council. I want you as a church family to know the process in ordaining someone like Heston. We look at his ministry effectiveness. If you take a 100% scale here, a scale of 100, 40% goes towards his effectiveness in our midst. 30% goes to the writing of his doctrinal statement. 30% goes to the defense. And so you put those together, and of course, you can do the math on figuring out whether or not someone passes. Do you want me to give you Heston's percentage? Do you want to hear it from? No. I'll reserve that. The sins of some men are conspicuous, going before them to judgment. Well, this is a great reminder that we can never know, because they're hidden at times. But also, the sins of others appear later. We have the reference to the good works are also conspicuous. You can't write someone off because you haven't demonstrated enough of this giftedness, and even those that are not cannot remain hidden. What does it lead us to? It leads us to the fact that Jesus is the judge. He gives us the scriptures to guide us in this process of ordination. So trust God with the selection made by the church. So I'm asking you, as a church family, looking at this passage, preparing to ordain Heston, that you say, okay, decisions made. How can I support them in ministry? What's a simple way that you can support them in ministry? Well, I've got this one. We can ask God to expand the cause of Christ through men ordained at Palmetto Baptist Church. We look at him as a model for future ordinations, and we pray for Heston and Rebecca and their effectiveness in Huntersville, but we also pray that God would continue to use our church in this way, and then ask you for this question: are you willing, as a church member, to look for other candidates and to prod them and say, is God calling you to preach? Does God have his blessing on your life? Do you have that desire? How can we help you take those next steps? And men that are listening to me right now, and I do say men because it's men who are called to preach, are you willing to respond to God's call? Even if you are in a career that you think is the career you're supposed to be in for the rest of your life, God sometimes trumps that career choice you make. And he says to you, I want you in ministry. There's no higher calling than to follow God's will for your life. So if God's called you to ministry, stop what you're doing in the context of your vocation and head towards the training and preparation. I always have to say this in light of the context of ministry. Ministry is not just vocational pastor, vocational teacher. If you're called in your particular vocation, you're called to minister in that vocation. But I'm specifically talking to you who are here today, and you know that God's working in your heart towards pastoral ministry. I'll tell you this, it's not the most lucrative position that you could find. You bear many burdens. You have to have all this accuracy that Pastor Reimers talked about on a weekly basis, i.e. daily basis. Your family, they're put underneath the microscope. But if God's called you to do it, there's no greater joy in the world. That's what we need to remember as we consider all these things. And this is just a practical one. Are you willing to pray daily for the ministry effectiveness of Heston and Rebecca Blake? It's something we're all called to do. And I'm calling you as a church family a charge to the church. Let's look out for others. Let's not be hasty in what we're doing. Let's not let their weaknesses hinder them from actually getting there, but allow them to bear good deeds in time, realizing ultimately it's God who judges. It's not us. God passes that final judgment. We have to trust him and rest in him in that. But we can pray and ask God to bless this couple and others that come through our ministry. Prayer of dedication. This is the time, this is almost in a wedding context when you do the vows and you say you may kiss the bride. Well, here we're at the ordination of the candidate. And Heston, I want to invite you to come on up here, and the deacons and Pastor Kurt, I want to invite you to come up as well. And we will lay hands on you and pray and ask for God's blessing.